But I just want to begin my message this morning. I want to tell you a quick story. This happened a few weeks ago. We've got I was in a retail store, and it's quite a large retail store, and there was a lady there who was decorating the hall. Amazing for Christmas. Little room there, you know, decorating it out there, ready for Santa to go in. Christmas decorations, Christmas tree. It was awesome. And I was talking to this lady, and she said, well, we're going to put a little manger out here at the front. Obviously, when you're doing it for a worldly organization, you can't just make a massive big manger, can you? But I thought that was great. You know, I'm not what you would call one of these banned Christmas type of people. I don't know if some of you grew up in a religious household where Christmas trees were evil, and you know we got all of our Christmas sort of rituals from the Roman Empire, you know, from Constantine. So Christmas trees, it's all pagan and so on. I'm not one of those at all. I suppose we've kind of gone, the church has gone past that stage, haven't we? Do you think? Is there anyone here who gets offended with Christmas? You know, Christmas trees, Santa. Okay, well, there's a little story about David and Goliath, isn't there? Do you remember when David killed Goliath? He slung a stone at Goliath. Do you remember that? The stone hit him right smack in the forehead. Boom, he went down. All 9 feet of him hit the ground. The ground was shaking. How did David finish him off? He grabbed, whose sword was it? Goliath's. He grabs Goliath's sword and he cut off Goliath's head with Goliath's own sword. Amazing. And then later on you'll read that David said there was no sword like Goliath's sword. He thought it was an amazing sword. So there are things in our culture that aren't overtly evil. Like the general person out there on the street, if we were as Christians to ban Christmas trees and all that sort of thing, they would just think, they don't understand the history of how it all came to be. They would just think we're a bit weird, wouldn't they? Yeah? So there are, I don't think we redeem our culture or the things that aren't overtly evil in our culture. We don't redeem it or make it good by being super Puritan about it. Yeah, there are things that obviously are evil. Wouldn't just leave those. But, you know, even old Saint Nick, you know, Santa Claus, in a way, doesn't he represent what God the Father's like? You know, a lot of people think that God is old, slow, and boring. But God, even Saint Nick, he is generous, isn't he? Kids write out their Christmas list. I bet you kids, have you written out a little list for Santa? The things that you want to get from Santa? Yeah, maybe. Oh, that's good. But the Bible says that God loves to give good gifts to his children. If you ask your father for a piece of bread, he's not going to give you a snake or a stone. He's a good father. So Saint Nick, I mean, he's representing a little bit of God the Father, isn't he? A bit of a stretch there. Anyway, where am I going with this? I need to bring this back somehow. I don't know how I'm going to do this. But, you know, I went back into the shop, you know, into this retail shop the next day, and I tell you what, it was the work of a professional. It looked amazing. There was a Christmas tree there. This, the way it was all decorated, I've never seen anything like it. It was a picture of, you know, excellence. It was fantastic. On the coffee table, it may have been taken in, you know, because some people are a bit nervous about the manger because not everybody believes in Jesus. Some people don't. But I was thinking, it wasn't there. The manger wasn't there. Jesus, you know, Mary and Joseph, the donkey or whatever else is there, wise men, they weren't there. And I had the thought, and it was nothing against what had been done there because that's quite normal, isn't it? In some ways, but I thought, isn't that a picture of what it can be like for us at Christmas? And the point I want to make, and this is, if you want to give him a message, a title, it is, if Jesus is an afterthought, he will be forgotten. If Jesus is an afterthought, he will be forgotten, won't he? Sometimes that's what it's like, isn't it? Jesus is kind of like an afterthought. We do all the things we want to do, and then Jesus is sort of tagged on the side just to make us feel good. We all do it, don't we? You know, Jesus, he came to give us joy, didn't he? He came to give us abundant life. The Bible says that I came to give you life and life in its fullness, to give you an abundant life. That's the Jesus that we serve. That's him, isn't it? Now, you may have someone posing as Jesus, but who's not the real Jesus. Yeah? Do you understand what I mean? Maybe your Jesus or the imaginary Jesus that you've created, you know, just because you worship Jesus doesn't mean he's the real Jesus. Do you hear what I'm saying? The only person that can give you the real Jesus is the Holy Spirit. He's the only one that can reveal who Jesus really is. So a lot of people are worshiping a Jesus that's not even the real one. You know, and the reason why some people don't come to Jesus is because they think if we bring Jesus into Christmas, the life and the joy is going to be drained out of Christmas. But that's because of they're worshiping the wrong one. You know, the Jesus that I serve isn't the one who loves scented candles, or I don't think anyway, bells, smells. The Jesus I serve, he could speak Latin, but he doesn't necessarily speak in Latin. My Father plays dominoes better than your Father plays dominoes. Is that the Jesus you serve? That's, you know, he walks around with blonde flowing hair and blue eyes. That's the English Jesus. It's not him. Sorry, guys. Who walked around in a bathrobe? Is that him? I think that's the one we made up. You know, Jesus isn't trapped in an ornate building with stained glass windows. Sorry about that. You know, the Jesus we serve isn't dull and insipid. You know how you get some really, it's just sickening. We do all these religious little things and services or whatever, and it's not full of the life of Jesus, is it? You know, the Jesus that I know, and I don't know him as much as what I would like to know him at all. I want to know more of him. He had a sense of humor. He wasn't boring and dull. You know, can you just imagine? We just read these stories and we read over them. You know, he says to the Pharisees, you guys, you strain out a gnat, which was a little bug, little insect. You strain it out. You know, when they're making a cup of tea, you strain that out. But then you swallow a camel. Can you imagine that? We just read that. We don't really get what's going on here. Jesus is, he's making a point, but he's doing it with humor. You know, there was the Pharisees who were so hypocritical. They were pointing out the faults in everybody else, but they had some glaring faults of their own. And Jesus said to the Pharisees, he said, you guys, he said, it'd be better for you to take the plank out of your own eye. Now, if you're a builder, I'm from a building background. My dad was a builder. A plank is a long piece of wood. Can you imagine someone walking around with a plank in their eye? And then they're trying to take a little speck of sawdust out of someone else's eye. So, Jesus was awesome. He went around healing the sick. Now, do you think we really are believing in the real Jesus? How many sick people do we see healed? We see a few. We've seen some amazing healings this year. We see some, but we don't see Jesus. Every person was healed. You know, on the day of Pentecost, the disciples, not just some, it says all were healed. You know, Peter, he looked at the beggar and he said, silver and gold I don't have, but in the name of Jesus, get up and walk. You know, that's the Jesus we serve. Jesus said, Lazarus, come out. You know, Lazarus has been in there for how many days? 4 days. It's a long time to be in a grave, isn't it? Jesus said, Lazarus, come out. And he did. I was listening to a story on my way home yesterday from Wigan about a man. His name's Andrew Womack. Some of you know who he is. He raised his son from the dead. His son had been dead 5 hours. And he saw his own son raised up from the dead. There's a guy in America, I forget his last name. His last name's Hogan. I've just forgotten his. But he's seen over 100 people raised from the dead. That's the Jesus we serve. That's the Jesus that wants to break into our churches. Not this little funny religious thing that we've created in our minds, that, you know, little Jesus in the manger and, you know, with all the candles and all the paraphernalia. You know, there's a lost and dying world out there. And they need us to truly represent who Jesus is. The Jesus who binds up the brokenhearted, who opens blind eyes, who gives people purpose, who brings people back to life again. That's what we need. That's what I need in my life. I don't need some, you know, fake thing. We want the real thing. So let's not let, this Christmas, let's not let Jesus be an afterthought. Oh, that's right, we better remember Jesus. Oh, no, that's right, that's fine. We've got a manger there next to the Christmas tree. That's all good. That's all good, we're fine. I want to give you three things just to think about as we go into Christmas this year. And if you can turn to Matthew 2, we're gonna make the message a bit legal now. We're going to turn to the Bible. And so you'll all remember the story of the wise men. Now, I don't know how many there were. We always say it's three wise men, don't we? Because there were three gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. I'm not sure how many there were, but they came from the east. And some scholars believe that the way that they knew how to find Jesus was because Daniel was in Babylon, and they somehow got the writings of Daniel. And it can be discovered through his prophetic writing when Jesus would be born. So I don't know how it happened, but they knew that there was a Savior. They knew that God was in the flesh coming to visit mankind. And so they were there at the right place at the right time. And this is what we're going to look at, Matthew 2:11. So these men were from the east. And on coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary. And they bowed down and they worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with what? If you got the NIV, with gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So they bought three gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So this morning, if you want to be a wise person, now anyone want to be a fool? I don't see any hands. Okay, so we all want to be wise. It's a lot better to be wise than to be a fool, isn't it? So the wise men bought gold, frankincense, and myrrh. I'm just going to touch on these really quickly. I would like for myself this Christmas not to forget these things. Because often Christmas can come and go, and we haven't really, we received some nice gifts, had some nice family time, that's great. But maybe we haven't gone any deeper in our relationship with Jesus, maybe. But here's the first one, gold. So we've got here 1 Peter 1 verse 7. You know, Peter says, he's talking about trials, I think. Need my Bible. So we can turn to 1 Peter 1 verse 7. And it says, these have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes, even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus is revealed. So there we have faith being described as more precious than gold. But I want to say that faith, let's think of faith as gold. Now, in Revelation 3 verse 18, here's a letter to the church of Laodicea. You know, the church of Laodicea, that was the one where Jesus said, I wish that you'd either be hot or cold. And Jesus is saying, if you're lukewarm, that means you're kind of not hot or cold. He said, you know how it goes, spit you out. But it goes further on, and it just talks about Revelation 3:18. He says in verse 7, he says, you say, I am rich, I have acquired wealth, and do not need a thing. Now, that could be a picture of the Western church. You know, you may be sitting here this morning and thinking you're fairly poor, or you may not have a lot of money in the bank or material wealth. But if you compare your life to that of the majority of the world, we live like kings. Even the poorest among us, still, I mean, I'm not talking about the extreme poverty. There are people who are living on the streets, and we need to really, we need to consider that. But I'd say that we're talking about those of us here. This is talking to the Western church. It says, you say, I'm rich, I have acquired wealth, and do not need a thing. Jesus said, and I'm not trying to be hard on you this morning, I'm speaking to myself as well, but you do not realize that you're wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire. That's what we need to give Jesus this year. If we're a wise person, we need to give him gold. What does that mean? So that means, we can have all these things in our life, material things that make us feel like we're okay. And the Pharisees thought, well, I'm rich, therefore his blessing must be upon me. But Jesus is saying, if you want true riches, he's not saying that riches are wrong, but he's saying, if you want real gold in your life, gold is the currency of heaven. Gold is a real faith. And now what is faith? Faith is hearing God, isn't it? The Bible says that faith comes by hearing the voice of God. So if we're going to give Jesus our gold this Christmas, we're giving him a listening ear. We're saying, Lord, I'm listening to you. I'm listening to you this Christmas. It doesn't mean I have to learn all these doctrines and everything. All it means is my ears are open. I'm listening to you. Maybe the Lord will say to you, hey, go and help your wife in the kitchen. She's busy. Don't say that. That's going to make it even worse. He may say, just show a bit of appreciation there, or it's having a listening ear in the circumstances that we find ourselves in as we move through Christmas. That's the goal that we need to give Jesus. It's saying, you're Lord in this situation. Can we do that? Jesus is the Prince of Peace, and yet isn't it so often that at Christmas time, it can be the least peaceful time, because, you know, when family comes together, it's awesome. But when family comes together, it can also sometimes be pressure and stress and busyness. And Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And if we give him our ear, he'll bring that peace. And he'll, if we listen and obey, he'll bring that peace. And it will manifest in our Christmas. He's not saying, let's not have our Christmas tree, let's not have our presents. That's awesome. I love Christmas. I love presents. I mean, Kieran's cooking is worth waiting a whole year for that Christmas dinner on Christmas Day. But hey, is all that worth anything if there's no peace? Jesus wants to bring his peace into the center of our Christmas. So that's the first thing, goal. Frankincense. If, are you a wise person this Christmas? Let's bring him some frankincense. Now, if you want to do some research on frankincense, it was an emblem that meant prayer. It was incense, and that's what it means. There's references here. If you want to look them up, Psalm 141 verse 2, Luke 1 verse 10, Revelation 5. Verse 8 and 8 verse 3. You can ask me, I can give you this later. But frankincense is always an emblem of prayer. Let's give this Christmas, let's give Jesus prayer. Let's give him faith, a listening ear, but let's give him prayer. And what does that mean? One person defined prayer as an hour of boring conversation with yourself about God. That's not true, is it? Now, sometimes we mystify prayer, don't we? Doesn't mean you have to get up at 3 a.m. and pray for 2 hours. Sometimes prayer is more about listening than saying things. Sometimes I think when I'm praying, I'm just like praying, and God's saying, well, hang on a minute, I am actually here. How about you listen to me? I'll tell you what to do. So prayer can be as simple as, you know, when your child, or, you know, when you receive a gift that you really wanted, it could be just a sigh. Oh, thank you, Lord. That's a prayer, isn't it? Or things are turning to custard. God, help! Not saying it out loud, but in your heart going, help me. That's a prayer. It's being aware. You know, Brother Lawrence had an amazing book called Practicing the Presence of God. And what was that book about? It was about learning how to walk in God's presence. You know, we sometimes forget, don't we? We forget that even you're sitting here right now, his presence is here. Jacob said, you're in this place, I was not aware of it. Jesus is here right now in this place. All he's saying, prayer is being aware of that. And so often I'm like a believing atheist in the sense that I'm behaving as if God didn't exist. If we were truly aware that he was here present right now, a lot of the things we did, we wouldn't do, would we? Let's be believing believers. Let's give God our prayer. And that prayer in its simplest form is being aware of his presence and maintaining that connection and being aware of the things that disconnect us and addressing it when it comes up. It might be an unforgiving thought or a thought of resentment. Lord, I give that over to you. Simple, simple prayer. Lord, I'm not going to dwell on that thought. That's bringing dis-ease into my heart. I want your yoke, which is easy, and your burden, which is light. So the final one is myrrh. Now, this is amazing. I'll just read you a quick poem, actually, by T.S. Eliot. He was a great author some of you may have heard about. And it's just a short poem. It's not the whole thing. It's just the last little bit. It's about the wise men. And it goes like this. It says, all this was a long time ago, I remember. And I would do it again, but set down. This set down. This. were we led all that way for birth or death? There was a birth, certainly. We had evidence, no doubt. I had seen birth and death, but had thought they were different. This birth was hard and bitter agony for us, like death, our death. We return to our places, these kingdoms, but no longer at ease here in the old dispensation. With alien people clutching their gods, I should be glad of another death. What is he saying there? He was saying the birth of Jesus, it was amazing. It was a birth, but it was a death. What was it a death to? Everything that they'd known before, it was a new thing. God, this was Jesus bringing in a whole new way. Amazing. I don't know if you realize this, some of you may have, but myrrh is what they anointed, or not anointed, they, what do you put? Say when you put it on a dead body, you embalm. They embalmed dead bodies with myrrh. That was one thing. I want to suggest, you know, when Jesus, when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, what did he say when he was facing the cross? Imagine that, looking down the barrel, looking in the barrel, having to go to the cross and suffer the agony, that torture on the cross. Imagine that. Of course, he was the sinless Son of God, but he was saying, God, if there be any other way, can you make it possible? You know, is there any way out of this where I don't have to suffer such mortal, like massive agony? And then what did he say? He said, at the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, not my will, but yours be done. What was Jesus doing? He was basically dying to, or he was always dead, but he was continuing that process of dying to his own will, his own selfishness. Not that he was selfish, but you understand what I'm saying. Jesus said no to his will and yes to God's. He was saying no to selfishness, yes to God's will. If you look up the Greek word for Gethsemane, it means oil press. Oil press. Oil is a symbol of the presence of God. So if you like, the oil press is the source of the oil. Does that make sense? So at the point where you say, no, God, not my will, yours be done, which isn't easy. We're in that struggle each day, aren't we? To crucify the flesh and to live by the Spirit. But when we do that, that is the source of the oil. That's the source of God's life, Jesus' abundant life. Now, can I just say this, that myrrh, if you look in Scripture, in the first mention in the Bible of myrrh, it is the principal ingredient in the anointing oil. So you can see an amazing thing there, can't you? That in the process of dying to yourself and saying yes to God is the oil release. That's the myrrh. So can you give God a listening ear this Christmas? Can I give him a listening ear? Can we have faith? Gold is the faith. Frankincense is the prayer, being aware of his presence, responding. And what's the last one? Myrrh. I can promise you that the problems that you have in your life, the problems that I have in my life, are a result of my own selfishness. I believe every marriage that breaks down is a result of my will, not yours, God. Every conflict that Kira and I have in our marriage is a result of me or Kieran or both of us saying, not your will, God, but mine. All the potential problems this Christmas for you and your family are a result of having an unsurrendered will to God. It's as simple as that. James said, what causes fights and arguments amongst you? What did he say there? Should we just turn to James 3? He said, what causes fights and arguments amongst you? And it's basically the same thing, isn't it? Might be 4. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You want something, but you don't get it. You kill, covet, but you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask. When you do ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives that you may spend on your own pleasure. Selfishness, there it is. That's what causes. So this Christmas, if we want the Prince of Peace at the center of our Christmas, someone has to get off the throne. So I say, let's give Jesus the gift this Christmas of, Lord, my gift to you is, please help me to get off the throne and help me to get you on the throne at the center and to stay on the throne. So there we go. There is a few thoughts to think about this Christmas, but we're going to have a little response time. And can I really encourage you that this Christmas, let's not make Jesus an afterthought. Because if he's an afterthought, he'll be forgotten. But if we bring these three gifts to him, you know, the wise men, they knelt before Jesus and they gave him those three gifts. And those three gifts are fit for a king. And if we can give him those three gifts, then I think we can have an awesome Christmas. But not only that, if that can be an ongoing gift, then I think we can have an awesome 2020 as well. And the rest, don't you think? Yeah, so can we have, what are we doing for, we can have a bit of a response time, but could we just have a stand and a bit of a stretch, a bit of a high five the person next to you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, so let's just close our eyes. If you can stand, that'd be good. If you can't, that's fine. But let's just close our eyes. And we only do that because it makes it easier to, sometimes easier to focus on Jesus. We're not distracted. So if you're with me in this and I'm preaching to myself, I want to be able to give these gifts to Jesus over this season and make them a part of my life. If you're with me in this, why don't we just wait on the Lord for a moment? And the Bible says that God works in us to will and to act according to his good purpose. It's easy to look at the person next to you or look at someone else and say, yeah, well, I can see you don't have any of those qualities, and be, you know, always looking at other people as an excuse. You know, we can look at other people critically as an excuse for not developing these things in our own life, can't we? Sometimes people go on for years and they never change because they're always blaming everybody else and using them as an excuse not to change themselves. Let's not be like that. Let's enter into the process of growth and development in the kingdom. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we look to you, Lord, this morning. Lord, we look to you, King Jesus. You were born into the world, and as the wise men, they brought you gold, frankincense, and myrrh. This morning, Lord, I pray that you would enable us to give you faith. Lord, you'd enable us to give you prayer, and you'd enable us to be in your presence, to say no to ourselves and yes to you this Christmas, in Jesus' name. Amen.